of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen one shall gather to home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is caught up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and all work on earth is done, and the roll is caught up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is caught up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. I'd like to ask, does anyone have any prayer requests for today? I only have one here, but if anyone had any other prayer requests, just let me know. The one prayer request we have is, let us stand. One prayer request we have is from our brother Ryan, saying, Sister Iva is wearing a heart monitor again, due to irregular heart rhythm. So let's please pray that the doctors can figure out what's happening to her heart. So all unspoken requests, just raise your hands. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to gather again in your presence, Lord, and just pray for all the requests that are spoken and unspoken. Lord, you know what they are, Lord, and just pray for little Iva, Lord, the heart monitor, Lord. We know that you're a healer, Lord, and you take care of your children, Lord, so we just pray that you'll fix the situation and anoint the doctors to know what's going on, Lord, and pray for all those who couldn't be here, Lord. Pray for all those who are, struggling, and we know people are in hospitals and there's little ones struggling, Lord, and just all the different prayer requests, Lord, and different people we have on our minds, Lord, and those who aren't in the fold, Lord, and just pray for those who aren't in the fold to come back, Lord, and pray for that you take care of all our requests, Lord, and we thank you for being a good father, and we have your way with us in this service, Lord. Anoint the ministers, Lord, anoint song leaders, Lord, anoint us all, Lord, to get deeper into your word, Lord. Thank you for all things. You lead us and guide us. In your precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Thomas, you have to help us with the offering. If you have a songbook, you can turn to number 63. We'll sing Old Time Religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It's the old time Holy Spirit, and the devil won't go near it. That's the reason people fear it. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will make you stop your lying. It will save you when you're dying. It will start the devil flying. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It's so good I want no other. For it makes me love my brother. It brings things from undercover. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good in the fiery furnace. It was good in the fiery furnace. It was good in the fiery furnace. And it's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. Was good for Paul and Silas. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Go to 334. Oh, Joshua, the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Hallelujah. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. You may talk about your man of Gideon. You may talk about your man of Saul. But there's none like good old Joshua at the battle of Jericho. Hallelujah. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. 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 Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Then up to the walls of Jericho he marched with spear in hand. Come blow them ram horns, cried Joshua, 'cause the battle is in our hands. Oh, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Then the lamb, ram, sheep, horns began to play, and the trumpets began to sound. Joshua commanded the children all to shout, and the walls came tumbling down. Oh, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling. Verse 1. You may talk about your man of Gideon. You may talk about your man of Saul. But there's none like good old Joshua and the battle of Jericho. Hallelujah. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. 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 Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. One more time. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. 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 Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. Amen. Let's sing I'll Fly Away. QF.
some glad morning when this life is over.
Us, feel free to do so. If not, I'll just keep singing. So we'll turn to 199. What a friend we have in Jesus. Carry God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Trouble anywhere, we should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Sing, This World Is Not My Home. Once again, if anyone wants to bless us with a special, the pulpit is open. In key of G.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open doors, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. I fixed it up with Jesus so many years ago. I know he'll see me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open doors, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? Angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. No,
pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling.
Have a lot of youth meetings back home, and the youth are supposed to be so lively, you know, and energetic, so we're going to try something. Can you all stand up? Okay. We all Abraham's children, right? You all know Father Abraham? You know the song, Father Abraham? Okay, let's do it. All right, you ready? Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Father Abraham had many sons, so Father Abraham, I am one. Actions, and so are you. So let us praise the Lord. Right hand, Father Abraham. Right hand, many sons, so Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let us praise the Lord. Father Abraham, let's do it. Many sons, so Father Abraham. And so are you, so let us praise the Lord. Right hand, left hand, right foot. Do it, Father Abraham. Okay, let's do it. Many sons, so Father Abraham. Your hands, I am one of them, both of them. Who are you? So let us praise the Lord. Right hand, left hand, right foot. Let's do it. Father Abraham. Many sons. Many sons of Father Abraham. I am one of them. And so are you. So let us praise the Lord. Left hand, right foot, left foot. Shake your head. Everything. Father Abraham had many sons. I don't see your hands. Father Abraham, your feet. I am one of them. And so are you. So let us praise the Lord. Left hand, right foot, left foot. Shake your head. turn around. Father Abraham, everything. Many signs. Father Abraham, I am one of them, and so are you. So let us praise the Lord. Left hand, right foot, left foot, shake your head, turn around, sit down.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? The pulpit is always open. So. If not, we'll sing this, and then we'll have Brother Wade come out and introduce our brother. So sing Come and Dine.
Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. So come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. For you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Oh, you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine.
Soon the Lamb will take his bride,
to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assembled be.
Will be a glorious sight,
all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. So come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. For you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. You fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine.
Hey man, let's give him a good hand clap of praise this morning, or this afternoon now. Good to have each and every one of you here. Good to have our brother and our sister from Brother Gene Williams Church. Good to have some from other churches. Well, they've already been here. They're not visitors. You've never been here before, have you? Well, you're just a visitor today, but tomorrow you will not be a visitor. You'll just be a part of us, because like my dad's always said, nothing to join. We're just a body of Christ. But good to have each and every one of you here. Good to have Brother Ronnie Long and all his family back there in the back, and one on the way. So good to have them all. They brought them all with them. So it's good to have them with us, and good to have Brother Ronnie with us. Thank you all for coming. We love you with the love of the Lord. We're trying to support these youth and do something for them so that they can have a part in the service and they can do something for the Lord. And then we can see that projected into their life outside this building. That's what we want them to do. We want them to get something here and then take it outside to the people. Let's don't keep it in here. Let's don't keep the light under the bushel. Pick that bushel up and go outside and shine that light to the world. They need it. Amen. The youth of this world need God, because yes, they sure are full of the devil. Right. If you're not born again, you're in trouble. Get born again. Amen. Amen? Amen? Know that you know that you know. And as the word goes forth today, let God speak to your heart. Amen. Let God speak to you individually. And I hope everyone gets something out of the service today. Oh, after service now, what we'll do is we'll go downstairs and eat. We've got pizza for everybody. And Then we will have a time of fellowship. The young ones will do stuff. But now I want the youth to get with Sister Christine and practice after we eat. After we eat for our special for tomorrow. All right, so just meet with Sister Christine Urego. They went to get the pizzas. So get with her or get with me, and we'll direct you where to go. You're going to practice up here for a song for tomorrow. Everybody with me on that? All right, and then we'll have little games and stuff we'll do for the young ones. But we'll just have a time of fellowship, and then tomorrow we'll be back here at 9:45. Brother Bob will be doing Sunday school. Brother Ronnie will be doing the ministering. Then we'll have one service tomorrow. Usually have two, but we're only going to have one. And then afterwards in the afternoon, we'll just fellowship together. Amen. Good to have Brother Jeremiah and Brother Gabriel with us from way down in, they from L.A., Lower Alabama. Good to have you with us, man. But you're not visitors. You've been here for 100 times. But thank you for playing. Hey, amen. Give him one. Use your talent for the Lord. Amen. Use your talent for the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you, though. Tell your dad and said, hey, your mom's here, actually. Wow, what a surprise. One of them Borlevon girls. Good to have you with us. I wish your dad could come, too. But remember, practice after we eat. So let's sing this song again. Let's sing Come and Dine. Let's sing the last verse. And then we'll call Brother Ronnie Long from Ohio, Northern Ohio, to come and minister for us.
Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the hosts of heaven will assemble be. Oh, twill be a glorious sight. All the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Oh, come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. For you may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now.
Come and dine, oh come and dine, the Master calls. He feast at Jesus' table all the time. Since my life has changed, I am not the same. I'll never be the same again. I'll never be the same again, oh no. I'll never be the same again, oh no. Oh, since my life has changed, I am not the same. I'll never be the same again. Amen. I just thought of that song because my dad always used to come out on Come and Dine, and then he'd go right into that song. So now next time he comes, you'll know it. Praise the Lord. It's going to be the house of the Lord with you tonight and this afternoon. And trust everybody's doing good. And where else would we rather be? Amen. A lot of other things going on in the world, but this is the only place where a real believer's at home. And it just seems like as the time goes on, we just feel more and more uncomfortable out there in that world. But the more comfortable we get with those of like precious faith, and amen, where else would we rather be on an afternoon like this? Thank you, musicians. Thank you for the songs. And it's good to be here. I think maybe I haven't met everybody here, but I'm just Brother Ronnie, and it's my wife Felice. Good to have her with us. I was just going to fly down alone, but she... She said she'd make the journey with me, so we're always glad when the family can come. As you get older and kids start getting into activities and different things, you don't travel all together like you used to, and so it's nice when you can, and everybody stays together. Amen. But if you have your Bibles this afternoon, we'll turn to the book of Numbers, the 13th chapter, a familiar passage of Scripture for us, and trust that the Lord is with us this afternoon. Amen. And how many in here, just curious, maybe just the young people here towards the front,
How many of you were born in a message church, in a message home? How about the old people in the back? How many was born into a message home? Man, it's pretty near 100%. Pretty close. Pretty close. I'm not putting you in a subcategory if you weren't.
Thank you.
Just curious. Thank you. In the 25th verse. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in that land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. If you don't, of course, your Bible studies know that those are giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. May God bless his word. Let's just bow our heads this afternoon. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come and gather around your word, Father, and Lord, just to open the pages and to look thereon. Lord, there's our promises in there. There's our victories in there. There's our restoration. Our faith is in there, Lord. All that we are is in this word, and Lord, we thank you for allowing us to see, Lord, pass the words of ink on the pages, but Lord, to see a life that you provided in there for us, Lord. And Father, a manna that would come in the hour in which we have need of it, Father. And Lord, we thank you for sending us a prophet in this hour that could make it not just a dead letter, but a living word in our hour, Father. And Lord, we're so thankful, Lord, that we have been given this opportunity, Lord, to come and just to feast on your carcass this morning, Lord. And God, we just ask that you bless it to our hearts and our ears would be open to receive it, Father. And Lord, may we just lay aside whatever's going on around us, Lord, the events that might come, Lord. But Lord, we don't want to miss the event of your coming, Father. We don't want to miss the event of your visitation, Lord. And Father, wherever you're talked about, that's where you are, Lord. And so we just want you to feel welcome, Father. We want to invite you into every heart, Lord, every mind. Father, may every spirit be subject unto your word now, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just a couple minutes this afternoon. I'd like to just take a pretty simple topic. Ask me for a title, and I say, well, the only title I have is kick them out. There's somebody else in your house. It's time to kick them out. Amen. I believe that us, as we raise our hands, that we were brought into this message. If we weren't born into it, maybe we've been into it for some years. And we've heard enough preaching to last a lifetime. We've heard enough of the word to last a lifetime. But it's time to put it into action. It's time to take what we believe and put it into action. There's somebody else living in your land. And where I got this context from, I'll read this quote. I know I couldn't get it to email to you, but it's in The Power of the Devil. He said, well, can I plug your tablet in here? I said, well, you don't want to read my chicken scratch on here, so it wouldn't make any sense to you all anyway. But Brother Bannon would say, the devil's nothing but a bluff anyhow, snorting and blowing all thunder and no lightning. But I tell you, brother, the lightning power of the resurrected Jesus Christ puts a reality there that shocks the soul from a dead slumber of these earthly bound things into the immortal realms to believe God and take him at his word and call those things which are not as though they were. Amen. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Called out, set aside, a church bought and washed and ironed out without spot or wrinkle. Now he's talking about us, the church. Somebody say he's talking about me. Say me. He's talking about me. Without spot or wrinkle, that's what he's coming for. God help us to get our faith in the right place tonight to move out on the battlegrounds there and say, Satan, you're a liar. Jesus Christ died to make me free and it's mine. Somebody say, it's mine. Somebody say, it's mine. Now think about your possession, the victory that you have desired. I don't believe you came in here this afternoon just to sit in a pew or to get free pizza, but I believe you have something on your mind that you're looking for God to come and deliver to you. I say it's time to visualize that and say, it's mine. It's mine. You can see yourself walking in victory. He says, get out of here. You went to your home tonight, you legitimate people, and there's a bunch of drunks in there kicking around and carrying around, smoking, drinking, cursing, and living immorally. You'd say, hey, get out of here. This is my house. Brother Tim, if somebody was in your house when you got home tonight and there was somebody else carrying on in there, you wouldn't just let them be in there, right? You wouldn't just let them sit in there, Brother Bob. You wouldn't just let somebody just come into your house and have some stranger have their muddy boots up on your couch. I believe you'd walk in there and say, hey, this is my house. You're sitting in my chair. Get out. But most of the time, we'll let the devil come right into our home and come right into our life, and we'll just let him. We'll let him take up a residency there, and he'll have our best chair, and he'll have the most comfortable seat in the house, and we don't have the courage within us to say, "Hey, this is my house. Get out." But I think by the power of the word that we're living under, it's been affirmed to us that we have the authority to say, "This is my house. Get out." So remember, this is your victory. I can't pronounce your victory for you, but you've got to know what you have requested of the Lord. Maybe you've desired the Holy Ghost. You've desired healing in your life. You desired a greater victory, or to walk in a greater light than you've ever known, or maybe to get healing in your body. Whatever it is, you've got to recognize that it's already yours, but there's a devil between you and there. There's a hindrance between you and there. I believe it's time to walk out in total victory. Now imagine if you went into your house and say, this is my house. You'd say, well, I'm a human being. This was built for human beings, and I've got a right here. You'd say, this is my house. I have an abstract deed that proves this is my property. Then if you show him the deed, he will not move then. There is a law down here that will make him move, right? So if you took that word to the authorities and you took that title deed and you said, this is my house, I have the deed to it, and there's a squatter in my house. Now the law would show up and they would make that man get out of your house, right? Now you know that as a citizen, you have those rights. As an American, everybody in here, American citizen, you have those rights that if you went to the law and you say, there's somebody in my house, then by law they would have to be removed. But I believe as Christians, we have a greater law. I believe as end time believers, we have a greater law that is exercised for us, that if we could recognize that and say, we have a law that protects us from you being in my house. But we've got to exercise that law. And if that devil that come to you tonight tried to send you to a premature grave, tried to cripple you up, read God's abstract deed, and by his stripes we were healed. And if you don't want to believe that, there's a Holy Ghost here, the law of God that'll kick him out. That'll prove it. Just ring up Jesus, Jesus Central, say J-E-S-U-S. Find out if there's something that don't take place. The angels of God will take their positions and that devil will get out. You can stand there on your toes and say, yes, sir, it's the truth. Amen. Not up here or down here. You've read your title clear. You know what it is. Oh, my. Feel like taking wings sometime and fly away, don't you, when you think of that? Lift up above the shadows. Give me fellowship divine. Yes, sir. Stand up in there where all the things are possible. Somebody say all things. Now, are some of the things possible? All things. Somebody say all things. All things are possible. Stand up there where Enoch did. My, when he took a little stroll one afternoon with God and walked on home with him, just didn't want to come back. Hallelujah. Not one morning or one evening. The rapture, the resurrection, he had a testimony that he pleased God because he believed God. Now that sounds too simple, right? That Enoch's testimony wasn't that he knew all the mysteries or he knew all the revelations or that he knew where to find that quote or that exact text. But the testimony that Enoch had that he walked with God was that he believed God. Now, I find that we see ourselves living in a condition that is under our privileges because we simply don't take God at his word. Now, I think every individual in this building is guilty of that. We're all guilty of letting our humanity come in the way. But I believe we're getting to an age and to a time and we're living in a different dispensation where we are rising above just this humanity or what these three dimensions can hold, but we're seeing a supernatural God in action at this time on earth. Now, I'm not going to settle for what I had last year. I'm not going to settle for what I had 10 years ago or 15 years ago. We've got to be walking in a current light with God. Is that all right? Somebody say right now. Right now, God is on the move. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, but right now, God is on the move, and we've got to be walking in step with Him, right? So we could come by, and we could ask ourselves, and I could pass the mic, and we could go one by one and say, now, why do you believe what we believe? And some might say, well, I don't know. Some might say, well, I believe it because my parents believed it, or I believe it because my grandpa believed it, or my mama made me come here, or I don't really want to be here. Whatever the answer is, we've got to recognize the living truth is in our midst now. Not just in 1965 or back in another age gone by, but we're walking in the light now. Somebody say, now. Now. Not yesterday, not in another age, not back in Paul's age or John's age or even when Jesus was walking in sandals, but right now we are walking in a living light. We're not looking for something to come, but it's already come. We're not looking for the prophet to come back and to tell us something he didn't already tell us, but we're walking in a living light already now, right? Not waiting for something, but it's already come. He says, that's what we need. That's what we want. Is that what you want? Now, you'd have to be a pretty bad shape to not raise your hand to say, I want the Lord to come in and take total control of my situation. I don't know what your situation is. It might be depression. It might be health. It might be diabetes. It might be a foggy mind. It might be unbelief. You might be unsure about what I'm saying. It might be confusion. You might think that you're just walking in victory. That's wonderful. Walk on in victory. It might be a complex that somebody put on you. Whatever your situation is, God is able to remove that, but we must recognize who we are in this hour. Now, the fault of Israel there, those 10 spies that went, they testified of their fault in the scripture, and they said, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers. Now, them giants didn't say, you're grasshoppers. Them giants didn't call them grasshoppers. They didn't even get close enough to them, but the scripture says that they saw themselves as grasshoppers, and so they were in the sight of the giants because that's how they saw themselves. Now, I'm not going to raise my hand in this hour and say, I'm just a grasshopper. I'm just lowly and meek, and I've got no power. I've got no authority. I've got no right. But I believe we've been positionally placed into the body of Christ, not just to know it in letter, but to actually perform it in deed, to actually put a faith in action in this time to say, it's my land. It's time to take it back. You know, we sing the song, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. He's stolen joy. He's stolen freedom. He's put you in bondage. He's put you in chains. He's told you you can't worship. He's told you you've got as far as you can in this belief. Well, let me just say that devil's a liar. You have not gotten as far as you can in what we believe. There is no limit to how far you can get. Now being born into this, now, did somebody tell you or did you have to find it yourself that you capped yourself off to what your faith could reach? Well, that's just a little bit out there. That's just a little bit higher. And, you know, it seemed like maybe 20 years ago, if you were really to preach the Son of Man, nobody would know where you were coming from. Maybe 30 years ago, nobody would understand. They say, this man's blaspheming. He's preaching that deity is in the body of Christ. But now we preach that on a regular basis, and we believe it with all our heart. But who told them 30 years ago that that was not the truth? You understand where you're walking. You're not living where 30 years ago was. You're living in today's light. It's a different light of this age. Now, you can't expect to be harvested in March's light, right? The light of a March spring will not harvest that plant, but we're living in the harvest time. Is this all right? Am I going too fast? We'll just relax a little bit.
Sure, go ahead, brother.
All right. Mary, you all raised your hand that you were born in the message, so I assume you know where I'm coming from, right?
Right.
We cannot rely. When they came into Pentecost, they could not rely on Luther's message. They cannot rely on Wesley's message. They had to see their own message for their own light. Now, we, coming into another light, we cannot rely on what they believed on 100 years ago in 1909. We can't believe that. That will not get us all the way through. We've got to have that and more. We've got to have what Luther preached and more, right? So now we know we're walking in a prevailing revelation, that we're walking in step with the Word, right? Remember when Brother Branham saw you in a vision, and he saw with that quote there I just read that there would be a spotless bride without spot or wrinkle. She'd be walking in the Word, walking in step with the Word. So we're continuing on in this. We're not putting a cap and say, you know, you just got to be content to sit in that pew and be handed what you're given. When did that become a normal thing for the Church of the Living God to just take what you're given and that's what you're given? Now, the woman with the blood issue, she was handed a death sentence there that they couldn't figure it out. They couldn't find it. They couldn't heal it. They couldn't cure it. But she didn't just take what she was given. She recognized who was walking on the earth at that time. I believe there's the same Christ walking on the earth at this time. I am not satisfied just taking what I'm given in this life, but I believe we're called to take him at his word and to remove any hindrance in our life, to remove any giant in our land. Now, we look over there and we see the victory, right? You see what I'm preaching to you. You see that you can walk in total victory and you can praise him like you desire to and you can walk in total faith, but there's a giant standing in between you and that. You see, we've got to have the eyes of faith to know that that's already my land over there. And if that's my land, there's a law protecting me that says I can have it back. Now, when those spies gathered there, they used to live in that land. Their forefathers lived in that land. You see, they were told how beautiful the land was and how great the land was, but it had been something 400 something years since they'd been there. Right? So those individuals had never actually been in that land. They were born into slavery, but they'd heard. They had heard of a land. Now, many of these young people sitting here, maybe you've heard of a supernatural testimony taking place for this brother over here. You've heard of God moving on the scene over there. Maybe back when your pastor preached a convention, you heard the Spirit of God move, or you heard it last Sunday for somebody else. But you've got to see it with your own eyes. You've got to believe that it's for you, and it's for your time. It's not for the neighbor, or it's not for tomorrow, it's not for just Brother Wade, or it's not just for Brother Bob, but it's for you in your time. This is the bride's time, right? We're not living in the wrong age. You weren't supposed to have cowboy boots and spurs. You're living in the age that God thought of you to be in. You're not born out of season. You're not born out of time. You're walking in the perfect vision of God. This is where he saw you. So if God saw you already here, then he gave you what it's going to take to overcome this age, right? We are living in the darkest age. I don't know if there's the mural with the ages on it, but we're living in the darkest age, right? There's just barely a sliver of light there. That represents us. Thank God that there's a sliver of light there, because there is a bride on the earth today that is walking in victory. We're not defeated. We're not walking with our head down. We're not walking pretending that we know what we're talking about, but we are walking in total victory, because we recognize that Messiah is on the earth living in a body. Amen. I believe it's us. I can't speak for you, but I say, hey, it's me. Amen. It's me now, not sometime in the future when something comes to pass. But Brother Bram said, all things have been fulfilled already. We are now walking in victory. Amen. If we can only recognize that we can't control the circumstance that come to us, but we can control how we react to that circumstance. Is that circumstance going to tell you how high you can rise, or are you going to just look past that giant and be able to see total victory? Amen. Now, the devil would love for you to sit there in your seat and be so depressed in yourself and be coming at your own mind with every angle you can think of why it's not you. But wouldn't it be easier just to believe it's you? Wouldn't it be easier just to get rid of all the doubt and just say, I believe that I'm fulfilling this scripture in this age. He's talking about me. He's not talking about another group, but he is talking about me right now in my situation, in my flesh, in my circumstance. He's talking about me. Now, when royalty is born, they didn't have to tell Prince Charles that he was going to be the next king. He already knew that he was born under the right bloodline, that when the queen passed away, he would be the next king, right? He already knew that. It was already within him. Nobody had to tell him that. But when you're born into another kingdom, when you're born into this kingdom of which I'm talking about, it comes with entitlement. It comes with rights. It comes with a new bloodline, and you're entitled to every promise that is promised. Psalms 103 is already yours when you're baptized into this body, when you receive him in fullness, when you walk in the Holy Ghost, every right is yours. Now, how many exercise every one of those rites? How many sick people exercised by his stripes were healed? Now, it's one thing to testify it with your lips, but it's another thing to walk in it and see it happen. Friends, I can't explain this in a better way than to say that I've seen more of God this year than I have in my entire walk put together. I've seen God move on the scene more this year than I have in my entire testimony since I've been serving the Lord. What is it? We're reaching another level. But we've got to recognize that we're moving up. We cannot stay behind in yesterday's hour. We cannot stay behind in yesterday's day. We've got to recognize that we're walking in a higher level. We're seeing things that we didn't see 10 years ago. What, has the word changed? Have we been preaching different quotes, Brother Wade? No, but the bride is recognizing who she is. We know the quote, when she recognizes who she is, she will be an invincible army, right? But there's a catch to that. You've got to recognize who you are. Somebody say, it's me. It's me. He's talking about me. This word of encouragement that comes through the prophet's lips is not talking about another group or another race or some people afar off. He's talking about me. Now, you can look at the message a couple different ways. You can say, well, you know, it's just a bunch of negativity, and it speaks about judgment, and it speaks about hell. He's not talking to me when he's talking about that. But when he's talking about walking in perfect victory, when he's talking about taking off of this old garment of sorrow and putting on a garment of praise, he's talking to me. Somebody say me. He's not talking that it's going to come, but he's saying it's already here. My message is to declare that he is here, right? I don't believe that we should have to water down. I hope you're okay with this. I don't believe we should have to water down our youth services, because I believe you all hear the truth of the hour. I believe you're just as far along. You're further along sometimes than a lot of people that have been in the message their entire lives, because you're called and elected to receive it in this hour. Now, when you recognize that you're coming to this kingdom and you've taken on the Holy Ghost, which is not just I raise my right hand and I solemnly swear that I'll be a member of this church and I'll follow this message for the rest of my life. No, when you actually take on the life of Christ within you, there are rights that come with that citizenship. Is that all right? If you moved over here from another country, you used to be under that country's laws, right? You used to be under that country's, and maybe they didn't protect you as good. Maybe they didn't have Social Security, and maybe they didn't have the benefits that we have here in the United States. But when you became a citizen of the United States, every right that every other citizen has is now yours, right? What's the same with coming into the kingdom of God? Brother Wade does not have rights that you don't have. If you come into the kingdom of God, you're entitled to the same word of prophecy that he's entitled to, or that I'm entitled to, or that Brother Luis is entitled to. We're all walking in the same kingdom, right? There's no big I's or big me's and little you's. We're all walking under the same authority when you recognize where you're living. Now, the hour in this age, everybody's fighting for their rights. Everybody's fighting for Black Lives Matter or LGBTQ, RST rights or whatever it is. Everybody's fighting for their rights, and yet the people of God sit there and they take what the devil gives them, and they think that's how they have to live. Not anymore. I say from today on, you've got to recognize in your heart, I'm kicking him out. Maybe there's a devil been living in your life and been bringing you down and bringing you sorrow and telling you that you're not ever going to make it and telling you that the rapture's going to pass you by. I say it's time to kick him out. Take the word and use it for what it was meant for authority, to kick him out of your life. Kick him out of your house. Kick him out of your kingdom. Let the word do the cutting. Let the word cut off of that devil that's been hanging on to your life and telling you that you're not going to make it and you don't have the authority, you don't have the faith. That's the devil of condemnation. I say it's time to kick him out. You've been given the same promises that every man before you has been given that's come into this kingdom. The same authority that Peter was given when he would walk by someone and his shadow would do the healing. That same authority lives within the bride in this hour. The same authority that would take Paul and Silas out of a prison cell, that would shake the walls loose and they would walk in freedom, that same authority is in the bride in this hour. We're walking in it. Now we've got to change the way we're looking at it. We've been given this. Well, this is just the way I am. That's just how I was meant to be. I just have a woe is me kind of attitude. I just have a Debbie Downer. But that's not walking in victory. You're saying, I'm just a grasshopper in the sight of that giant. I don't know how you look at yourself, but you've got to see yourself how God sees you. He sees his child. When I look at my son or my daughter, I don't see a lesser human being or somebody smaller. I see I will give my life for that person. You've got to recognize that God sees you as his beloved. He's not looking at you in some lesser manner, thinking that he's not going to move on the scene for you like he did somebody else. You're not a grasshopper in God's sight. But what about your own faith? What does it testify about yourself? Well, we're just a grasshopper to this. This is a dark hour we're living in. This is a dark age. And, you know, I thought we were just going to come in here and he was just going to preach us a simple sermon. But this is what the Lord gave me on my heart. You know, I thought he was just going to make me feel good. But I'm telling you who you are in this hour. And by telling you who you are, you're identifying what rights are yours. The devil that comes to you and torments you at night, you have a right to kick that devil out of your mind. You have a right to kick that devil out of your home. It's your right. The law of God protects you from those things, but you've got to recognize it's not a yesterday thing. It's not just that if I do this and I carry my cross across the middle of the desert on my knees, I'll be entitled to this. But right now, while I'm speaking these words, you can come into this kingdom and you can be entitled to every right that a Christian has. It's yours already. It's a living fire. Right? It's not a dead, cold fire in another age gone by. It's alive today, right? We sing the song, he's alive and well, living in me. Does it say he expired yesterday? Or that the faith of God only works for a certain amount of time? And, you know, those things just don't happen anymore. Days of miracles is past. Right? It's the same old spirit that the prophet preached against. You know, those things don't happen anymore. They don't happen around here. Wouldn't you like to be the change in that? Wouldn't you like to see the manifestation of the promises of God coming to pass in your church, in your life, in your circumstance, and what your giant is in front of you? Wouldn't you like to see that same old David anointing strike you, that same old Joshua anointing strike you and say, there's more for us than there is against us. There's more on my side than there is against me. We are given kingdom authority in this hour, but we've got to recognize we are the bride in this hour. We're not looking for something to come. We're already there. Sisters, if you knew the power that you hold within your faith, if you could recognize that God gave you all that he was, is laying in the church. Now, he never intended for that power to lay dormant. He intended it to defeat the devil. Any circumstance, any time, any place, under any condition, this word will defeat the devil. But so many times we end up in the corner and we think somehow we're defeated or we're not able or we're just stuck with this circumstance. I say kick him out. I say take the word which you already have the knowledge of and kick him out. Oh, he says, oh my, that takes the wishbone out and puts a backbone in there. When you come to find out that Jesus really, he raised from the dead and is here tonight proving himself alive, your faith in action. Your faith put in action. So what drives the devil out? Your faith. Somebody say, my faith. My. To think that you have the faith to drive out the devil. Now, if you walk up to the devil and you come at him with a little bit of fear in you, he's been defeating humans for ages, for thousands of years. You come to the devil with a little bit of doubt in your voice and you say, it's my faith, I think. That devil's not going to move. And maybe you've come up against this giant of which I'm talking about tonight. And you've tried it before and you said, maybe you worked up under emotion sometime and you said, by faith, be removed. But there was an element of doubt in there that it just wasn't for you. That devil will recognize that doubt. He recognizes where that comes from. But if you can ever get past that point of doubt, to recognize that this word is for me. This is my weapon. This is my sword. This is how I defeat him. It's not a mythical thing out there that maybe will come to a people one day, but it's mine. It's right now. Then you can say, it's my faith. Somebody say, my faith. My faith. What's good is it going to do to read of a historical God if he isn't the same God today? What's good is it going to do to read about old George Washington if he's dead and gone? It's just a history fact. But Jesus raised from the dead and he's the same today. What good does it do to paint a fire to a freezing man? show him a picture of a nice big warm fire and the man's a freezing. That's something that was. That's what people are trying to keep you alive by today. No wonder we got a failure in America of religion. No wonder the magazine says the spiritual ongo is a burst. It's because they failed to represent the right thing to them. They're trying to teach them of a historical God. But what we need today is a God resurrected from the dead and on hand right now. Somebody say right now. To do whatever he promised he would do to confirm his word. And we need delegates out there in the audience who's willing to rest their soul on any word that God said and put it into action. How many wants to fulfill that quote right there? We need delegates out here in the audience that will take God at his word and will put it into action. Somebody say me. Somebody say, I'll do it. We got to have the same anointing that Isaiah said. Here am I, Lord. I may not be able in my flesh. I may not think I'm worthy in my flesh, but here am I. Send me. That's what we need today. That's what we need as men and women who stand up to the forefront there and call the devil a liar and say, Jesus Christ stripped you and robbed you of every right you had, and I'm in Christ Jesus, and the world belongs to me. Amen, right? What good does it do to have a bird to have wings as long as you've got him in a cage? He can't fly. He don't need no wings if you've got him in a cage. That's the way a lot of these people are. They're in a cage. Tired of the days of miracles is past. Oh, there's a God. Oh, yes, we believe that Jesus was his son. I've accepted him as personal savior, but I tell you all those things is back there in the old days. They're past. How many has had to encounter that devil of unbelief? All those things are past. They're in another day gone by. The days of miracles is past. What good's your wings going to do you? What good's your faith to do you if you can't turn it loose? What good's your faith going to do if you can't put it in action? Certainly, if I believe Jesus lives today, I'll put it into action. What good is it to say that we have a vindicated word of promise in this hour, that it's infallible, we can argue it till we're blue in the face and say there's no contradiction, there's no mistake, and yet we've not even put it into action yet? Man, we've got so concerned about proving this to ourselves, we've missed that we can use it against the devil, and we just take him at his word. Just say, I believe this wholeheartedly, it works. Let me say, this message works. It works when you need him. It works when you think that there's no way out. It works when you're in desperation and you're crying out for help. This message works. We've already proven that to be so. But let it work for you. What good is it for God to give you wings if you're going to be in a cage your whole life? What good is it for God to give you the ability to worship if you're never going to use it? What good is it for God to give you breath in your lungs if you're never going to use it to glorify him? Brother that was playing the piano, wonderful playing. What good would it be for God to give you the gift to play the piano if you're not going to use it to glorify him? What good would it be for God to give you discernment of the word, to look over this and to know the quotes and to know that if you're not going to use it to glorify him? It was not put here so we could argue back and forth about it. It was put here so we could put it into action in our lives. Now maybe we'll talk to the back for a second. How many mamas and daddies are ready to get the devil out of your house? I've had enough of the devil in my house and dictating to me how my kids can go and what direction they're going to take. I say it's time to kick him out. I say it's time to take the word that you've already been given and use it for the purpose it was given for and kick the devil out. What good is it to be given the gift of the Holy Ghost if you're just going to sit there? If you're just going to wait on him to do something for you, if you're going to wait on some emotion to come by or the light to flicker or the chain to move, what good is that? God is waiting for somebody to put their faith into action. This is our time. This is our hour. Let me say, are you the bride? Are you the bride over here? You believe you're the bride? Is this your age? Is this where you live? Is this your dimension here? Is this your time? It's your time to let your word shine. Don't put it off to somebody else to do, or just the pastor, or just the ministry. But the Son of Man ministry is in his bride. It's in women. It's in brothers. It's in the PA girl. It's in the sound man back there. It's in the drum player. The ministry of this hour is in the bride. Why would it just be there if we were had to deal with whatever we were given? Maybe you were given just a small portion. But that's not what your cap. Right. Who told you couldn't fly? Well, gravity told me that. Well, who told you couldn't walk in perfect victory in this word? Some devil told you that. Some devil came along and he told you that this was just the way it is. That you're just going to continue to live under your means and just go from meeting to meeting and from paycheck to paycheck, and you're never going to get ahead. That's some devil that came into the church and told our young people that they would have to live under this kind of expectation. But I say it's time to kick that kind of expectation out of the church. This word did not come in our hour so we can live under our means or under our expectations, but it came that we could have fullness, that we could have life, that we could get under the fountain and drink freely. Amen. But my, sometimes it seems that we've got a battle to get under that fountain. We've got a battle to actually get underneath it. My, we have to battle our own thoughts. We got to battle traditions. We got to battle false teaching. We got to battle everything that the devil can throw at us. Amen. Not to mention the temptations of the world that you all face. You all are facing more temptation and greater temptation than I faced in my day. Maybe I'm not that old, but just in 10 years, a lot changes. A lot of temptation changes. The devil has greater access into your home than he did when I was a kid. But you were put here to overcome him in this age. You're not put in this age wrong. You weren't put in here that God just sends you through and hope you make it on the other side. But God already saw you walking in total victory. Right? By a prophet's vision, he already saw a bride without spot. He didn't say it would just be old people. He saw a bride walking in this age without spot, amen, without sin, yes, above reproach, amen, not letting the devil work through their life. He saw a bride made up of you and me walking in step with the word. That's why we were given this word in this age, so that we could overcome them in every situation, under any circumstance. Now tell me, what is greater than God? Is your doubt greater than God? Is your depression greater than God? How about that anxiety you fight? Is it greater than God? No. But your faith must be put into action to recognize that God is not coming. God is already here, living in me to tell. He's alive and well. He already defeated that same enemy 2,000 years ago. Why don't you let him defeat him again today? Why don't you let that word of God strike a seed in here and let him defeat that enemy again today? But we can't survive by a fire of yesterday. If I drew you a picture of a nice flame and I put it out here, would you get any warmth from it? It wouldn't give you one bit of warmth. But you have need of fire. You know that you're cold. You know that your hands are cold. You want to get somewhere where there's a fire. If I paint you a picture of it, it doesn't do anything for you. Let me say, just to know that the pillar of fire came and it was over Brother Bram's head, it doesn't do anything for you if you don't recognize that it's right here in our midst in this hour. It wasn't just back in 1963 when he was caught up. It's right here in this hour. The angel of the Lord didn't leave. He's right here in this building. But why would he come in here if he's just going to sit there and let you go through the same old dry routine and be stuck in the same old rut that you've been stuck in? Service in and service out, waiting for God to do. I sure wish God would come in here and do something miraculous. Well, what hinders you? Why not you? Why not let it shine on you? Why not let the revival come down and hit you? Could you imagine this, Brother Branham, somebody standing at the platform saying the baptism of the Holy Ghost, divine healing, that's for another day. It's like trying to introduce a man to freezing to death, and paint him some fire for him. And say, that's a fine fire. That's what was. You can't warm by a painted fire. You can't warm by a religion that died 60 years ago. If you're basing on the man William Branham, it's a painted fire. You've got to recognize where the word is today. That was fire at one time, but what about fire now? Holy Ghost had power at Pentecost through the first age, second age, and on down. What about this age? He's the same Holy Ghost today. The same power, the same signs, the same wonders, the same miracles. Somebody say same. If he can get the same kind of faith amongst the people, God doesn't change. If he can get the same kind of faith. Do you know that if you were in that upper room on that day, you would not act any different than you are right now? It's not in a greater portion back then. There wasn't just a greater outpouring of his presence back then. You know, if you were in Brother Branham's meetings, you would not act any different than you are right now. You know, Brother Branham came up in here and Brother Wade was doing the introduction. And he said, I have a special treat for you today. Reverend William Branham is going to come out to the pulpit. You know, you would not act any different than you are right now. Maybe you don't. But I'm going to tell you that's the truth. He said Jesus couldn't heal you anymore if he was standing here in his corporal body than he could right now. Because the power which he left is what was in him to heal the sick to begin with. That same power is here in the church of the living God. That same fire is here that was in the upper room. That same anointing that was on William Branham is here. There's only one perfect gift sent to every age. That gift is coming on. But that same power is here in the church. Prophesying, speaking in tongues, healing the sick. We've witnessed it. Just this year, I've witnessed every gift work in the church accurately. God is not dead. He's not backed up. He's not dwindled in faith or dwindled in power. He's waiting for somebody to use the same faith. The same faith, they would come under that anointing, and under that anointing, Brother Rebbe would say, you feel that there's a connection between us. You feel that there's something taking place between us. You've stepped into the presence of the angel. You feel that? I've stepped into that same presence. I know exactly what that angel feels like. I know exactly what they were feeling when they came under that anointing. You say, well, brother, you weren't there. Just last year, there was a meeting up at Nathan Bryan's church, and there was a sister there that went to Branham Tabernacle. And in that meeting, she said, afterwards, she came and she talked to Brother Wayne. She says, this is the same anointing. The same feeling was in this building that it was under Brother Branham's meetings. She said, it wasn't any different or any lesser. It felt exactly the same. A holy hush came across, and the power of God was moving, and the sick were being healed. It's the same anointing. Why? Because it wasn't William Branham's anointing. It was an angel's anointing. And that same angel is here. But why would he be here if he's not going to change you? Why would he be here if he's going to send you out with the same old burden you had on you when you walked in this building? He's here to change your life. He's here to heal the sick. He's here to save the lost. He's here to restore that which was broken. He's here to mend it. That heart that's been hurt and it's been questioned and you're wondering and you're struggling, he's here to set it straight. If we could just have the same faith. But we can't get warm by a fire that somebody told you about. I can tell you that we built a huge bonfire. I can tell you testimonies right now of what the Lord's doing. But you've got to have your own testimony. But it might build your faith that you could say, well, it's possible. It's possible in this hour that somebody's building a bonfire. There's a bonfire out there somewhere. Brother Wade's not crazy. He knows that there's a fire. There's a fire happening in his soul. And that's what he's trying to express across the pulpit. Hey, get in the fire while it's hot. This is a real fire. You can get warm. You can get lit. Come and get in the fire. I like that. Brother Brown said, if you don't have something to say, just tell them how your candle got lit. But I think a lot of times men get behind the pulpit and they never lit their candle. So they don't got anything to share. But I'm here to tell you how my candle got lit is by coming under the authority of this word in this hour. By recognizing that it's not just a letter on paper, but it's alive. Alive in beings. Alive in flesh. Alive in lips and feet and hands. It's not just a saying, Lord, take these hands. Not just a nice song, but it's a literal life of Jesus Christ. Living in men today. Living in women today. Testifying of his works and his goodness. You do not have to walk out of here with whatever you walked in with. You might have walked in this room carrying a burden of doubt, of question, of unbelief, of wondering what's going to happen to that so-and-so, or wondering what's going to happen to you. I say it's time to kick that devil out. I say we've given up too much already. I say we've given away the boundary too much already. We've let the devil take and take and take and take. I say it's time to take back what the enemy stole from you. Come on, mamas and daddies. You know what I'm talking about. It's time to take back what the enemy stole from you. He's encroached on your children. He's encroached in your life. He's encroached on these young people sitting here. No doubt many of your parents are sitting back there pulling for you. It's time to take back what the enemy stole from you. It's yours. It's yours to have. It's not something afar out that's above your reach. It's right here. The angel moving in our midst. Not just so we could argue about it or we could feel a little emotional. Woo! But he's here to change lives. He's here to set that crooked straight. Now, we might have disappointments where we've prayed to the Lord for things and they didn't come to pass and we've waited. But he's here to change lives. He's here to give you the desire of your heart. You don't have to rely on your daddy's testimonies. I remember growing up as a kid, and my mom and dad came in the message back in California, and they would share these testimonies of things that would happen back in the church back then. Back in the 80s, it seemed like we had a real revival going through the message, and there was supernatural done, and there was mighty works of God going on. But then I was born in the late 80s, and by the time I was hearing about it, it was in the 90s, and I'm thinking, where are all the miracles? Well, that's nice. It's nice that you have those stories. I get so encouraged. My dad say, oh, you should have been there in this meeting, and the power of God fell, and this happened, and this happened. And then you just look at it and say, well, that must have been for another age. That must have been for another time gone by. And then you associate it with, well, you know, maybe the power of God falling in a meeting like that was just in Brother Branham's hour, just in Brother Branham's time. Maybe those gifts were just extinguished out of the church, or maybe divine healing doesn't exist anymore. Maybe those things just don't happen. But eventually you get to a place where you recognize he's not changed. His power's not decreased. He's not changed the way he operates. He's not changed his mind about his people. He's not changed his mind about how he heals or how he delivers or how he shows up on the scene. He's not changed his mind, but the faith of men has got so mixed up in arguing about it. Now, many of you were born into something that you didn't expect that to happen. You were born into it, right? And you come into the middle of the scene. Am I okay? You come into the middle of the scene, and there's quote wars going on. And there's battling going on. And you've fallen into this, and all of a sudden you didn't ask for this, but there's a war between this pastor and that pastor that you weren't even there for. Yeah, right. But you heard about it, and you think, well, I'm on this side. And you heard this quote, well, I see it that way. Yeah. And you're born into a situation that you didn't have any control over, but there will be somebody that overcomes that situation. Yeah, right. There will be somebody that actually looks at this word for themselves with their own eyes and say, I take it for what it is. I didn't ask for this opinion. I didn't ask for this doubt or this question or this. We don't read that quote that way. Well, let me ask, how many quotes can you cut out before you've cut the whole thing out? I say it's time for the Church of the Living God, and I think it's going to come through these young people here that's going to recognize, I'll take the whole message, nothing but the message. I won't cut it. I won't trim it. I won't water it down. I want it all. I want it all. I want him out of my house. I want him out of my life. I want it all. But you see, because we're born into the middle of this, we have a superstition built up about how we can act, about what we can do, about what liberty we can have, right? We don't want to get too crazy. You don't want to be wildfire, yeah? You want to be wildfire? You want to be crazy like Brother Wade and Brother Ronnie? There, see, we've put a cap, unknowingly, on how we can operate under the influence of an angel. We think we have to live under these expectations, under this type of anointing, and that's as far as we'll ever get. But the word did not tell you that. This message did not tell you that you can only live this high. This message did not come to tell you that you can only have just this much water or this much of the life of Christ. But this message came to say he's here in fullness. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into his church. All. Somebody say all is in the church in this hour. We're not waiting for it to be poured out. It's already in the church. We've got to recognize we're moving in step with the word. Time for those old shackles to fall off. Time for that old giant. I don't see myself as a grasshopper. I see myself as a king and priest already in the kingdom of God. I'm a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You're entitled to every redemptive right. But if you don't recognize who's here, it's like you're in another kingdom wandering around. I wish my dad was here. Remember when you were a kid, when you were real, real little, and you say, well, my dad can beat up your dad. Yeah, right. My daddy, you see, he has a better job than your daddy. My daddy's truck's bigger than your daddy. But you see, the whole time, daddy's not around. You're just saying things. And all the while, you're thinking, I hope daddy shows up. Yeah. I hope my big brother shows up. I'm sure talking a lot of trash. I want big brother to be here to back me up.
See, that's what it's like when you're walking around in this kingdom and you're unaware of who you are. You're saying these things are possible. You're saying that the days of miracles is not past and that God's still alive today and that this message is alive and true. But if you have any element of doubt in there, you're thinking, I sure hope the pastor gets here pretty soon. I sure hope so-and-so minister shows up here pretty soon. Or I sure hope Brother Branham would come back and write this. Or where's somebody to back me up here? But you've got to recognize that you are already a citizen in that kingdom. And your word is just as sure as any word that's come before you through the prophets. Your word is just like his word. You've been adopted once you come into this Holy Ghost. I believe we recognize that. We've been taught it. We've been quoted it. But one day, we're going to live it. One day, we're going to break through that barrier to say, this isn't my daddy's testimonies. This isn't just something afar off or that we used to hear about, or I wish I lived in this day. But you'll be able to walk and say, I'm living in the best day that there ever has been. I'm walking in a greater light than there ever has been. I'm walking in complete perfected word. That's where we're coming to recognize, friends. You young people, you were born into the best age, in my opinion, that there ever was. Brother Ram said if he could pick one, he would pick this one. Because this is the age where God has rested his reputation on. Let me say to you young people, brother, what's your name? Philip. God has rested his reputation on you overcoming in this age. Is that all right? God's name is on the line for this age to come out and take a rapture. God's name is on the line for you girls to overcome complexes and fears and anxieties. God's name is on the line for you to overcome and be a rightful son of God. His name's on it. He said it. Who's going to fulfill it? Some church down the road? Some other big camp down the road? No, he's going to work through a flock just like this. That takes him at his word and says, I'm not going to settle for just having this much. I want it all. I say if there's more of him to have, I want it all. Now we could pass the mic and say, do you believe that there's more of God for you to have in your life? Everyone would say yes. I want more of God. I want it all. I want the devil so far removed from my life that the indwelling of God is radiating out of my being. That I could walk in perfect faith, that I could walk in perfect victory, that the things I only imagined would be possible would be a reality to me. I want it all. I don't want to settle for just what the devil handed me. I want a total victory. Somebody say me. Somebody say it's mine. I want a total victory. Well, let me say that he's here, and he's here to give you a total victory. You don't have to walk out of here with the same old regret that I wish I would have done something when you walk out of these doors. But you can settle it even now. Settle it. Don't live by a painted fire. Don't live by something that you've heard is possible or you heard happen. Let's manifest it in your life. Let's see the manifestation of this message come out in the life of a young person in this hour. Say, I want to be that person. I want to be that young person this hour that lives this word so real that it becomes manifested in me. That's our desire as believers. We're not here just to battle back and forth and quote, shake hands, see what you wore today, see how well you sing and how good your pitch was. We're here to manifest this word that we live for. When did it become a tradition to give what the devil gave you? Just to settle for it. Just to walk in that. Think about old Joshua. When he recognized, I'm not a bricklayer. I'm not a brick maker. There's something greater in me than just making these bricks. You see, it become tradition to those Israelites that they just make bricks, right? When they come to Kadesh Barnea and the 10 spies went over and they brought back a report, it had become tradition for them to walk around in the desert and eat manna and live under their privileges. It had become a tradition for them. God forbid that it becomes a tradition in the church of the living God just to take what you're given in this life, just to take what the devil handed to you and say, that's all I can get. This is all I'm meant to be. What if Joshua and Caleb would have had the same vision that those other 10 spies had? They'd still be in Kadesh Barnea. They'd still be wandering around. But there was something greater inside them. They recognized, this is our day. This is our hour. I will not settle for wandering around in the wilderness. I have a land over there. It's my land. They didn't even see giants. They saw their land. This is the land that Abraham lived in. This is the land that Isaac lived in. This is our land. And and there's a squatter sitting in your land. And you might think I'm just crazy. Why are you yelling and why are you screaming? Because I've recognized, I've tasted of the grapes. I've seen that there's a better land for you than where you're living. You've got to recognize it's your land. You see yourself as a grasshopper. You've got to recognize you're an anointed, called, appointed, elected, inspired son and daughter of God to take back what the devil has already stolen from you. It's your property. When did God come in here and through the message or through the Bible tell you that joy was not yours? Anybody? Anybody got a quote for me? That joy's not yours? Anybody got a quote that you just have to be sad all the rest of your days? Anybody got a quote where you got to live in the gloom all the rest of your life? Anybody have a quote?
Nope.
And yet we live in that. And yet we settle for that. Anybody have a quote where you'd have to live with this disease the rest of your life? Anybody have a quote where you'd have to live in unbelief for the rest of your days? Brother, you have a quote? You? No. Why? Because it doesn't exist. Because God promised you greater things than walking in this Laodicean condition. God promised you that you'd walk out in a perfect body. God promised you that you'd walk out without sin, without wrinkle, without spot. God promised you something greater than what this devil handed you in this age. We've got to recognize it's me. It's right now. Now's my time. This is my hour, my anointing. The presence of God is here to change me from what I walked in that door with. It's your time. Don't just live on somebody else's testimony. Have your own testimony. Here, a couple months ago, I was in Australia. Remember, I said maybe sharing a testimony will let you know that there's a fire out there being built. I was in Australia a couple months ago, and there was a young man there. He's about my age, maybe a little bit younger, and we talked. He's from America. He ends up in Australia, and through circumstances, he's running from the Lord. He ends up in Australia. He ends up back in a Methodist church in Australia. You see, you can't run from the Lord. You can try, but if you're elected, you cannot outrun him. He'll find you. Worried about your prodigal brother or sister? He'll find them. They can't outrun the reach of the Lord. And so this man finds himself there in Australia, and he's helping out in the church, a good brother, just a wonderful, wonderful man to be around and just feel just a kindred spirit there. After I got done preaching one night, I was walking out, and they had a camp, a youth camp set up, and so the audio was kind of in an odd place over on the side of the building. And so I was walking out towards the back door, and I see him coming. I think, well, he's going to ask me if I need a water. And as he gets closer to me, I can see that he's affected by the presence that's in the room. And he comes up to me and says, I've got to have what you have. I need that. I've got to have it. And here he's born and raised in a Methodist church. I've got to have that. And you think, well, if I go out in the world, maybe I'll have a better testimony. That's what happened to him. And he came back in. He still said, I've got to have what you have. Friends, the Lord is still giving new births. I watched one happen right there on the floor. We didn't crawl through it, or we didn't squeeze our way through it. I simply said, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I give unto you in the name of Jesus. And a wave of anointing came down, and he is forever changed. He just preached his first sermon last week. You see what God's doing in this hour? You're not just meant to hold on to whatever you're dealt. The cards you're dealt with is not what you're ended up with. You can change your circumstance. You can change your atmosphere around you by simply saying, I've got to have something more than I currently have. I've got to have something greater than just knowing God sent a prophet, or knowing the quotes, or knowing that our pastor's a good man. I've got to know him. I've got to know the author. I've got to recognize him. I've got to have him living in me. That's where we've got to get to if we're ever going to overcome the devil in this age. I believe we will. I believe we are. I believe it's by the bride that we're recognizing this is not yesterday's light. But we're walking in a different maturity. That's why I'm not preaching to you like your kids. Because you're walking in another level of maturity. The 11th hour worker understands it at the same level. Is that all right? The same pay. We're not getting money here. The 11th hour worker understands it at the same level as those that have been delving their life into it for years and years and years. But you give me a 9-year-old that's been raised in a good message church, and he'll out-preach any theologian out there in any denomination. He'll out-preach a Joel Osteen or a T.D. Jakes or whoever you give him. A Paul Washer? Come on. Give me another name. He'll out-preach any one of those preachers because the authority that we've been given in this hour is a greater light than they could ever imagine to attain. And yet, we're the ones living under privileges. Friends, I didn't just come out here to yell at you. But I am sick and tired of watching the devil trample all over God's people. To take victories away from God's people. To hand them a card that says, you're depressed. To hand them a card that says, you're anxious. To hand them a card that says, you won't sleep tonight. I refuse to accept that from the devil. I say it's ours and it's time to kick him out. Kick him out of your life. Kick him out of your mind. Kick him out of your world, your circumstance. You have control over that. And you might go home and maybe, I don't know all of you, maybe you live with unbelieving parents, I don't know. But you have the ability within you to have the faith to say, I am the one he was talking about. It's me. It's for me. This is my victory. I'm not looking for something else to come, but I'm walking in the victory now. Is that all right, friends? We're not waiting. What are we waiting for? Well, when we have a big camp next year, we have our certain meeting. You might not get that. You might not get tomorrow's service. You might not get next week. You might not make it out of this building. Brother Tim, you didn't know you might not make it to New Mexico. You just don't know. You might not make it to the next service. You've got to settle things now. You've got to take him at his word now. You've got to recognize he's here now. Don't let that anointing go by without recognizing whose presence you're in. Jacob knew there was another Israel. There was an Israel in him. There's another me inside there. I'm not just what you see out here, just this common flesh and just look like any other person on the street, but there's another you. There's another you. Another you inside there. And when Jacob recognized the anointing was there, I'll not let you go till you bless me. I'll let the pot roast burn. I'll let the beans boil. I'll not let you go until you bless me. When your hour of visitation comes, don't ignore it. Recognize who's in your midst. Recognize what this word came to do in our hour. Recognize it wasn't just a man. Wore a suit just like you and I. But it was a living Christ. My ministry is to declare that he's here. And if he's here, all things. Somebody say all things are possible. He just wants you to put your faith in action to activate the promise. Is that all right? If the music players would come. I don't know how long we've been up here. Is this accurate? All things. Amen. We should be the most encouraged, the most sure, the most confident, the most on top of the world people that there is because we've been given a promise. Not by a man, not by a pastor or an individual or a pope or a holy man. We've been given a promise by Christ himself in this hour that you will possess the gate of every enemy that you have in your life. To me, that sets me and my soul on fire. I don't have to live by a painted fire. I can recognize, I can possess the gate of every enemy if I just apply my faith to this word. It's not mind over matter to say, I think I can. That won't get you there. Psychology will never win the battle for you. But recognizing that he's already defeated the foe that you're fighting. That feeling that comes over you that you wonder if you're going to make it. You wonder that if you're ever going to make the rapture, if it's just going to pass by, it's going to hit your neighbor, it's going to hit your girlfriend or your boyfriend, or maybe it's just going to hit the pastor, and you're just going to be left here. He already defeated that same foe. It's your promise to defeat by the word that enemy of unbelief. To say it's already mine. Let me say the rapture is mine. Maybe let's try a C chord.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, I lift my hands in worship as we bless your holy name. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Oh, just worship him. Now stand with us and raise your hands. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, I lift my hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You deserve the glory. Oh, you've been so good to us, Lord. Oh, how many mighty works have you done in our midst, Lord? We lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great. You do miracles. Oh, let your breath be used to praise the Lord. Like you, there is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. We can just bow our heads. Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace in our lives, Lord. Father, we thank you for this word that you've given us in this hour, Lord, that we could see you as a reality, Father, a living, breathing being, Father. And Lord, you're tangible, Father. We can feel your feathers, Lord, as David would say, Father. But we feel so insignificant to be, Lord, called and elected. But Lord, you saw us worthy, Father. God, each and every young person in this building this morning and this afternoon, Lord, you saw them worthy and had the confidence in them to put them in this age, Father. When you thought of this age and you thought of this hour, you thought of each of these individuals in this building today, Lord, that, Lord, they wouldn't just be here to take what they've been given, but Lord, they'd be overcomers of every situation, of every circumstance. Lord, I pray that in this building today, every son of Anak would be defeated, Lord. Every giant would be cast down, Lord. Every faith would rise up to a higher plane to say, I'm going to take back what the enemy took from me. I want to kick him out of my life. I want to kick him out of my habits.
I want to kick them out of my beliefs. I want to kick them out of my capping myself off from what the Lord can do for me. I want to kick the devil out of every aspect of my life. Oh God, by the anointing and the power of your word, Lord, we ask that your spirit would come, Lord, and just kick the devil out of every life in this building, Lord. May young people in this hour raise up and say, I'll not just settle for what I've been given, but I'll kick the devil out of every corner of my home. Every door of my heart will be open to receive from the Lord. I want to surrender everything that I am. I want to walk in the victory and the promises of what was preached today. I want to walk in total victory. I want to walk in total light out of this darkness of Laodicea. I want to walk out by faith and recognize that I've been chosen and elected to be an overcomer in this age. Oh, Father, may it become a reality to each individual in the building, Lord. May they recognize that it's not just, they're just not in a seat to fill it, Lord, but you gave them a life. You gave them breath that they could use it to praise you in every moment, in every circumstance, oh God. Oh, Father, when the tempter comes to test us on this promise that we've made today, Lord, may we by faith say that you've already been defeated. There's no power within you, but you've lost your rights, every privilege that you have. The keys have already been taken from you. We've been made overcomers by the faith that we have in Christ's blood. Father, how we thank you for this vindicated word, Lord. Thank you for this church, Lord. I pray that you just increase this leadership, Father. Lord, bless the people mightily, Lord. Bless our fellowship, Lord. May you just be in every word that's spoken, Lord. Oh, God, we lift you up, Father. Thank you for this promise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You believe that's talking about you? You believe that you've been made more than conquerors? And we'll just sing that. Maybe F.
We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Oh, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been made more than conquerors.
You believe that's talking about you?
Overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Sing it to him one more time. What you need.
We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Sing it one more time. Sing it to him. Prophet of God. We thank God he sent us a prophet. Amen. How many times I say it on Sunday? About 10 or 15 times a sermon. I am glad God sent us a prophet. They could give us clarity. And there's only one prophet that could tell us, Brother Ronnie, he says, you're God's victory. You're the victory. He was victorious over the death, hell, and grave and the cross. But you and I are going to have to be what? Participants of that. We're going to have to take that. And like Brother Ronnie said, we're going to have to live it. He doesn't know that our whole theme for this whole year has been what? Let it out. good or bad. Whatever you got in, let it out. If it's good, you need to let it out and show the world. If it's bad, you need to get it out. Right. So here he comes and talk about kicking it out. So we appreciate that, amen? So he's just a little more stronger than I was a little bit. You know, he said, kick it out, but we need to kick your devil out. Right. Amen? And we ought to kick our heels up for Jesus Christ. Right. Amen? Amen? We're victorious. This world has no victory. None. Show me one. Show me one thing this world can brag on. Well, yeah, they can brag on being winning ball games and winning this. Temporary. Yeah. Eternal life is not temporary. Eternal life is eternal. Right. And that's what we're talking about. It's what Brother Ronnie was talking about today. And really good. Let's give our brother a big hand. Amen. You believe what he said? I'm like Dad always says. I believe he believes what he said anyway. Amen. Whether you do or not. I believe he believes what he said. We need to enter in. I was thinking about that. I was laughing while you were preaching. I preached a sermon 20 years ago on 10 lying preachers. That's what it was. There was 10. There was 10. There was 12 went across. 10 come back and they lied. They were liars. And they were preachers because they made the people, like he said, they made the people stay there for 40 years. 10 people that said, we are grasshoppers. Then there had to be a Joshua generation, like you're saying. The Joshua generation had to raise up a young group of people, amen, to carry us on. And but now remember, I want to make something clear. Joshua was young, but Caleb was an old guy. Us old people can do it too, amen. Caleb was 80-something years old, okay? All right? And he said he was stronger now than he was 40 years ago. How many of y'all can say that? Don't raise your hand, you lie. But you know what? I believe Caleb probably had aches and pains and needed some liniment and Geritol and everything else. But you know what? In his spirit, he was just as young as he was because you know what? He had a promise. You and I have a promise. Amen. We have a promise that this group, as Brother Ronnie said, this group's going to defeat the devil. Amen. And like I said many times before, I'm just dumb enough to believe I'm going to do it. Amen. I'm just dumb enough to put myself in a place to where God can speak to me. And I can help God. God don't need any help, but you know what? He chose us. He chose us to help him. He chose us. Like I said, we're his victory. Amen. Him dying on the cross and going to Calvary and getting being resurrected has nothing to do if you're not doing it in you, if it's not doing it inside of you. Right. We've got to what? Make manifest what he's already done. Right. Amen. You love the Lord? Amen. Man, thank you everybody for coming. We're going to go downstairs and eat. Now the young kids eat first. Because this is a youth day, so take them downstairs and two slices of pizza first. Everybody with me? Two slices of pizza first. Then you can get whatever you want afterwards, but just make sure that we don't overdo it and not have any left. Because that's old people hungry too. Well, okay. They looked at me like, well, so what? But we love you with the love of the Lord. We got pizza. Sure enough, this place should be plenty down there. And we have drinks and pizza and some breadsticks and all kind of desserts. So youth, we appreciate you. The visitors, let them go first. We always do that. So you won't be a visitor next time, so you don't get to eat. You'll get to eat the back of the line. But good to have each and every one of you here. We're represented by several churches and got the group from Lincolnton here with us. So. Surprise, that's good. I love to see them come, man. They can sing like you wouldn't believe. So good to see them. And then we've got the L.A. group. And then we've got Brother Gene Williams. So if I miss somebody, I'm sorry. I think I got everybody. But then we got the old home group here. So let's bow our heads and be dismissed. Thank you for coming. Like I said before, there'll be activities for the young kids. And remember, when you get finished eating your pizza, there's a group going to sing, so you need to come up here and practice after that. See Sister Christine if you have a question about it. Sister Christine Urego, which is right back there now. Okay? So all minds clear. Everybody good? Tell Brother Ronnie how much you enjoyed it. Amen? Tell him how much you really enjoyed it. He moved out of the way and let God speak to us. Because that's what we needed. We needed that today. I needed that today. Amen. So I know y'all needed it today. We all needed it, and we're all one in the body of Christ. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you for bringing our brother, Lord, to hear, Lord, where we can hear from you, Father. You said through the foolishness of preaching that you were going to speak to us, Lord. So I pray now, Lord, that what has been said, though, will now enter into each one of our heart, and we'll become, Lord, more mature Christians, more mature adults, more mature kids, and we'll grow up in you, Father. That's the most important thing. We can have all the knowledge in the world and be like Albert Einstein, but if we don't know you, Lord, and the power of your resurrection, then we're nothing. We're of men most miserable. Lord, I pray, Lord, as Brother Ronnie was saying, we don't need to be miserable. We don't need to be depressed. We don't need to be sick. We need to, Lord, take what you've already said. Take those promises, Lord, and make them real, Father. We pray now that you sanctify the food that will nourish our bodies. Keep Brother Ronnie strong, Lord, and bless him for his coming up service tomorrow. Be with the ones that are here, Lord, the ones that are streaming in, Lord. The ones that will be here tomorrow, we pray that you just be with them. Keep them safe. Be the ones that are going to be on highways. We appreciate, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, this word for this hour. And as I say before, thank you, God, for sending us a prophet that brings us clarity so that we can speak the word of God, Lord, with boldness. As Peter and James and John said, look on us. So, Lord, we looked on you today and we saw you manifested in a young man. And, Father, we pray that you'd just be with us now, take care of us, bless us in our activities downstairs, and just keep us all safe. Father, we love you and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.